I don't think they'll ever really stop in the secondary, but another place that I hope they make some inroads is along the offensive line. It'd be nice to have at least one guy drafted this year stick around. You just don't know how things are going to go with somebody like Will Clapp. You hope the best for the former, Brother Martin Crusader, LSU Tiger, but you don't know. He was taken late. So whether it's with that 62nd overall pick or more of a flyer, I wouldn't mind seeing the Saints go early on offensive line. Because again, as in every year, it's really not if, it's when with Teron Armstead. And there are a number of other positions. In particular, with Max Unger out, I know they went and got a guy who's serviceable, who's played before along the offensive line at center, but they could do better. So I'd like to see him go offensive line fairly early. I think they'll be connected maybe with a DB, a linebacker, somewhere generically in the back seven, but suddenly tight end. They're not as hot to trot there because they don't need to be. So there you have it. Early April, we're talking LSU recruiting, and the Saints, this is kind of their version of recruiting as well, isn't it? It's the NFL draft. They don't pick early. They really don't even pick often, but they do have some intriguing spots and some positions of need. We'll keep that going as we get closer to the NFL draft. Big show today. Let me give you the guest list. Let me tell you some of the topics we will frequent. At 4:30, it's our single-tier tour continued. Yesterday was our final go with Cody Warsham, talking LSU basketball. Our final run with Brian Snow, 24/7 Sports. He's a college basketball recruiting analyst, and he joins B2BS at 4:30. What did he make out of the national title game? Does he like the Eric Musselman hire in Fayetteville? Does he like the Jerry Stackhouse hire in Nashville? And who are some of his early favorites? Just looking at returning rosters and some of those nuclei. Boom, plural version there. We'll ask him all those questions. Brian Snow at 4:30. At 5:05, I've been teasing it, and we will deliver. We're taking you to Augusta National. And I get it. Our guy RP3 had on Scott Rabelais. Live report from a very credible reporter. Jordy Holtberg had some guy named David Toms on the program. We're going with Cousin Dino. So at 5:05, a special Augusta National edition of Spreadheads. Who's his favorite? Who's his favorite dark horse? And then maybe one other prop bet, because yes, those types of things do exist. So get down on your knees and get ready for a little Amen Corner, Spreadhead style, with Cousin Dino at 5:05. We'll also get into Magic Johnson, the Lakers, and LeBron James. You could probably guess what 5 o'clock segment you'll hear that in. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
This week is unique with the history, the golf that's been played out here, the rules that are out here. They're a little different than each and every week. My dedication to figuring things out is the exact same. What I'm able to sometimes figure out is not as much as other places, but that's okay. Because if we can figure this stuff out in a way that's allowable, then that's a huge advantage for us.
Bryson DeChambeau. We'll have to see if Cousin Dino likes him. We're getting ready for the Masters. Officially tees off tomorrow morning. Of course, today is par 3 day. A little bit on the approach there to Augusta National. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Right back in on 103.7 The Game. And this is really your last call, just about. If you want to take the 2019 Masters Tournament Challenge, your chance to win a $100 gift card from golfballs.com, you better act today. Boy, maybe tomorrow morning, but only if you wake up early. Just make sure that you do it. Go to 1037thegame.com. It's free and it's easy. Sign up. Pick the golfer you think will win the 2019 Masters. It's that easy. If the winning golfer selected by more than one entry, we'll put all correct entries in a raffle and select only the lonely. We only will award one winner. A $100 gift card from golfballs.com. Again, it's the 2019 Masters Tournament Challenge, and you sign up at 1037thegame.com. Back to the golf later. CD, I let off, at least in part, with what's next for the Saints. And seemingly, it's what do they do in the draft? A lot of people right now focused on that. But I want to know, with the Saints heading toward the draft, the Pelicans just finishing a tumultuous 82-game regular season, I'm curious which of those two franchises takes a step forward from their current position next year. I'll pick at that scab next. Exciting and new. Your sink or swim question of the day: which event is more likely to happen next season in New Orleans? There we go. Clint turned me back on. I could talk again. All right, so which event is more likely to happen next season in New Orleans? Option one, the Saints win the Super Bowl. Option two, the Pelicans make the playoffs. And you may think there's an obvious answer there. I don't know that it is as obvious. I'm baiting you a little bit. Don't make us wait today. All of our calls came yesterday at like 5:55:30. So hit us up when you can now. 706-0111. CD, before I turn your mic off, give you a little retribution there. Which one is it? Is it the Saints winning the Super Bowl or the Pelicans winning the playoffs next season? Or making the playoffs?
I have to go with the Saints winning the Super Bowl. That one just feels like it's the most obvious answer. Some because of the fact that it feels like the New Orleans Pelicans, you can't say outright they're going to wind up getting back to the playoffs. I know Alvin Gentry talked about that after the game last night, that he was leaning that direction. But it seems damn near impossible to wind up pulling that off without Anthony Davis. And it feels like they're a couple pieces away, and you got to be able to kind of solidify what's going on in that front office before you can really start getting ready for another playoff run.
Let's take some on this topic. 706-0111. I go back and forth a little bit. Because you're right, there are a number of pieces away, and I think a number are coming in this offseason. It's a matter of how quickly can they coalesce, if you will. Really? Can they gel in time to make the playoffs? In the Western Conference, it's not going to be easy. You look at who made it this year, and yeah, tied for seventh were the Spurs and the Clippers, both 13 games over 500. So I understand that there are some heavyweights in the East now, but I still think the West might be the tougher of the two conferences. That being said, if you bring over, just hypothetically, if you can bring Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, and the prize jewel from Boston that's been speculated on in Jason Tatum, you can combine those guys with Elfrid Payton, especially Drew Holiday. And then you get a top 8 or 9 overall pick, even if it's not Zion Williamson or Ja Morant. I don't know. I think that's a team that at least have a shot at scratching toward that number 8 slot. So I'm going to agree with you, Clint. I do think the more likely option is a top 2 or 3 roster in the NFL actually parlaying that into a Super Bowl, if the stripes allow it this year. I do think that's more likely, but I think it's close. Pels fans, I don't know that the rebuild will be that arduous if you get what you really need out of the AD trade. And now's the time where we can really start focusing on that. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ken, which of the two is more likely?
Well, yeah, I'm going with the Saints, of course. You know, barring any significant injuries, you got to take the Saints. And, of course, Anthony Davis will not be there next year. We'll trade him. And I don't know how many players and pieces you're going to put in New Orleans. I don't think they're, even with the pieces, going to make the playoffs. So, you know, that's my take. I got one more thing for you real quick, and you might have alluded to it. I don't know. I just got in. I am very disappointed in Magic Johnson not talking to your boss and going media and say you're cowarding out, you're backing out when you brought the biggest fish in the world to L.A., and then you're leaving hanging with the bag. I am so disappointed. And, you know, by the way, the Lakers are a hot mess, inferno, and I don't know how they're going to clean that mess up.
I have quite a few things to say about Irvin. I'm going to save most of them for the 5 o'clock hour, but I think you summed it up pretty well there. Ken, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Irvin Johnson, in my opinion, and maybe this changes a little bit with LeBron, Magic is one of the 3 or 4 best basketball players ever. Magic is an incredible businessman. I think he does a lot of that off of his charm, his connections. And I'll steal a little bit of a cue here from Dan Le Batard, and you're just going to have to trust me on this because there are people that are bringing forth about a 2.5-minute clip that Dan Le Batard of the Mothership had right when Magic ascended to his position that he held up until yesterday in the Lakers front office. So this is, you know, whatever it is, a couple years old. And Le Batard is spot on. I agree with him on this. There are some things that take just immense hard work as well as some know-how to accomplish. In the modern age of professional sports, in particular basketball, if you're not in tune with the analytics, if you're not an office rat, you don't have a snowball's chance in hell in the role that Magic had. I think to a certain extent, Michael Jordan's had to learn that with the franchise in Charlotte. But he's adapting a little bit better. Magic can't charm his way into being a good head coach, as we saw when he had that position with the Lakers, or head of a front office. You can't just be the face in that role. Jerry West wasn't just the face in that role. Ozzie Newsome, if you want to go on the football side, wasn't just the face for the Browns, Ravens. I mean, these guys, they put in the time, the work. They had more than just a knowledge of how the game works. They intimately knew from a scouting standpoint what was next, the trends. In the modern age, like I said, analytics, you got to be up on it. So for a lot of reasons, Magic never should have had this job. But number two, Ken, I'm with you. If I'm going to bag on Will Wade for not going to see his employer, and yes, I know, cooperating with the feds, hands tied, still, if I'm going to do that on one hand, on the other, I'm certainly not going to turn around and say, Magic can just tweet his way and press conference his way out of his job without telling his boss. Yeah, that's a lack of respect. And not just the Genie bus, but the bus family who, by the way, Irvin, they've been pretty good to you over the years. My observation, of course. Not living in La La Land, just my observation. So I'm right there with you. Magic Johnson saying that he needs to spend more time congratulating other players on Twitter, and that's part of the reason he can't work for the Lakers anymore. He can't be a part of that tampering. Just malarkey of the highest order. So, yeah, there's a lot today that I will be saying on Magic Johnson, but you just got a little bit of a taste. Ken, thanks for leading a horse to water. Never mind drinking. So I'm curious what the future of that franchise is, but I know that I would take the future of the Pels franchise over the Lakers right now, even though one of the top two players in the world suits up for the purple and gold. I'm telling you, if things break right this offseason, the Pels aren't going to be as far off the pace as you think, or as many of you believe they could be. So yeah, I think the answer to this question is probably Saints winning the Super Bowl. But the gap isn't exactly tremendous, at least not as I see it. We'll try to take one more phone call. I see CD putting in a little work right now. 706-0111. Don't forget, Brian Snow is scheduled to join us on the other side of this break. We'll put a bow on the college basketball season. But right now, out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Frank, you going Saints here?
Yes, sir. I think it's got to be the Saints. I think the Anthony Davis thing is just it's way too much for everybody in the basketball world to take in. I hate to see him go because I think he's a generational type player. He can do it all. I mean, he's one of those guys. But as far as for the Saints, I think they would have won it this year, this past year, if they had made it to the Super Bowl. But thanks to the Zebras, they didn't. Because let's face it, they'd have blown the doors out of that stadium and just walked away with that victory. And I also think that they're going to be offensive line heavy.
As far as the draft goes?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would like that a lot as well. Frank, you know, I appreciate the call.
Too easy.
Easy freaking money. Don't forget, on the other side of our program today, we're out of here at 6. It's Five Guys Stories and Lies, the Express Lane edition. They're out at 6:30. We'll join Astro Launch in progress. Stros, Yankees, first pitch at 6:40. James Paxton on the bump for the Yanks. Colin McHugh for the Astros. Suddenly, Houston, they got the opposite of a problem. They'll be without Alex Bregman tonight, dealing with a hammy injury, but the Astros are looking for their 6th straight win. And you'll hear him on Acadiana Sports Station. This is B2BS. We're coming back with Brian Snow on 103.7 The Game.
He's to the 10, the 5, touchdown!
Gridiron.
on-air debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
No more college basketball for many a month, but we got to wrap up this season in style. Welcome back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Out on the Hardcore Equipment Hotline, it's our buddy Brian Snow, college basketball recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports. B. Snow, how goes it?
It's going, you know, just getting ready for the spring.
And I know for you that the evaluation period, all the recruiting really kicks into high gear. But as far as the on-court stuff, all right, finito. Virginia beats Texas Tech. How do you react to that game that we watched Monday night?
Outside of the first 8 minutes, it was a really good game. You know, both teams were making shots. At key times, each team's best player came to play. And it was an entertaining game, and Virginia just found a way to make a few more plays. And, you know, once again, they hit a big shot to tie it up with down by three with, what, 8 seconds to go or whatever it was. And that was kind of the story of the whole tournament for Virginia. They were dead several times and kept finding a way to win.
Any particular lessons, Brian, that you have taken away from this year's version of March Madness, whether it's the way the game's being played, certain programs and their needle pointing up or down, anything like that?
Well, I think it's dangerous to come up with too many, you know, grand conclusions off of a one-and-done type scenario. I think you just continue to see, you know, coaches, players, you know, being old wins in March, and that seems to be the case no matter what. You know, Duke lost this year. Now, that's not to say, you know, they couldn't have won it. Clearly they could have. But being old tends to win in March, and we've seen that for really the past half decade or so.
I spent a good bit of time in Baton Rouge, and during my time covering LSU, Johnny Jones was famous for saying he wanted to get up and down. They were about pace. They were about points. Now I'm in Lafayette and Bob Marlin, the Raging Cajuns. It feels like a familiar refrain. Is that a dangerous way to attack the game, considering we just watched Virginia and Texas Tech? Is that not built for March, or is that maybe a little bit of a leap to conclusions there?
I think that's a leap. Honestly, offense wins in March no matter how you play, whether it's being efficient in a slowdown game or efficient in an up-tempo game. It's all about efficiency. It's all about, you know, can you get a key bucket? And the teams with the best shot makers and shot creators tend to win. I mean, Villanova didn't exactly play slow last year. Carolina certainly didn't play slow a few years ago. So it's not about playing slow or playing fast. It's about being efficient doing it and executing the way you play best.
Talking with Brian Snow. He's on Twitter at bsnow247. He's a college basketball recruiting analyst for that publication. All right. Last time that you were here, we talked about Alabama, Texas A&M. They made hires. We got two more in SEC country now. Your reaction to Eric Musselman in Fayetteville and Jerry Stackhouse, kind of a Penny Hardaway type of hire and not far away from Memphis as well over in Nashville.
Yeah, you know, generally speaking, I'm not a huge fan of the NBA guy coming to college without any college experience like Stackhouse. But we'll see how it works out. You know, we don't know who his staff's going to be. We don't know what desire does he have to recruit. That's the thing. A lot of these NBA guys have absolutely no desire to recruit. And when that's the case, it just doesn't work out. Kids aren't going to come just because you're Jerry Stackhouse. A lot of them don't know who the heck you are. So I've got my questions about that hire. In terms of Mus, you know, he's a unique personality, so everyone's going to be on the same page there in Fayetteville. And, you know, he's obviously got a good track record, not a great one, but a good track record in the college game. And he had a good thing going in Nevada. And I think he's realistically one of the better hires that Arkansas could have made with Kelvin Sampson telling them no. So, you know, that one's, you know, there's still questions about how he built the program at Nevada and if that's transferable to the SEC, but at least that I can see where that one's going to be a much smoother transition than a guy like Stackhouse. Now, that's not to say either or both are going to be failures or successes. It's just, you know, kind of general data points for what we've seen in the past.
Hey, speaking of new hires, why was UCLA basically a non-starter for about a week and a half for a lot of the big names around college basketball?
Well, it's simple. I mean, everybody's rich now. I mean, like, the thing UCLA used to be able to do is offer more money and more prestige. Everybody's rich. Everybody's on TV now. And, you know, a guy like Jay Wright, why would he ever leave? You know, like, he's got a great thing. Why would people overrate or underrate how difficult it is to get someone who's happy to leave the job they're at? Now, sometimes it can just be time to leave, and that can be a function of timing. Like, it was time for Chris Mack to leave last year to go to Louisville. He had a great job, but it was just kind of time. It was his best team, and it was going to be a slight rebuild, not a huge one, but a slight one. You know, but it's just hard. I mean, every school's on TV. Every school's paying their coach millions of dollars. And then at UCLA, you're in the Stone Ages. You're not chartering all the time. You're not doing everything that a lot of other big-time programs are doing. So that becomes a problem for the Bruins as well.
Coming down the stretch with Brian Snow, college basketball recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports. And speaking of the recruiting side of thing, we've got the late or the regular, however you want to refer to it, signing period that's coming up in the sport. Who are some of the big names that are still out there, and how do you expect some of those dominoes to fall?
You know, there's still a few. Cole Anthony's probably the highest-rated guy who's still out there. Most people expect him to end up at North Carolina, but you just keep waiting for Cole to actually say he's going there, and he's been in no hurry to do so. So you don't really know. Matthew Hurt out of Minnesota, he's got, you know, Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky. Duke seems to be in pretty good shape there. Then you have a guy like Trendon Watford from Alabama. You know, he was with LSU headed for LSU, but now that there's instability, shall we say, that might not be the case. Alabama's going to be in the mix. Memphis, Indiana, maybe, where his older brother Christian played. So, you know, those are three of the bigger names that are still left out there. And then there's a guy like Precious Achiuwa. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, there's not a ton of talent available, but there's some big names.
I love that you just referred to what's happening in Baton Rouge as instability. It's not incorrect, but it's also like 3 weeks worth of talking points on this program, by the way. 3 weeks. You just gave one word.
Well, I'm efficient.
Yes, you are. And by the way, Cole Anthony, we should remind our listeners or maybe inform them in case they don't know, Greg Anthony's kid.
Yeah, you know, he's got a little NBA pedigree there. So, you know, he's a super talented guard from New York City, and you know, it's Carolina, Georgetown, and Oregon, I believe, where he was born. Those are kind of the three schools, but pretty much everyone expects him to end up at North Carolina when it's all said and done.
He is Brian Snow, and he created the unofficial visit. Have a great rest of your recruiting season. We look forward to talking maybe around Thanksgiving or something like that, if you'll have us.
Sounds good, Ben.
Brian Snow, 24/7 Sports. I'm telling you, Clint, we keep having these finales, and I don't know how to handle it anymore. You know how much I love basketball, so all yeah. I know is this. If you play the Boys to Men coming out of this set, we're not friends anymore. It is hard to say goodbye to Cody Worsham and B. Snow in back-to-back days.
It's not in there. Don't worry. We're good.
This isn't you yanking my chain, right?
No. April Fool's was last Monday.
Oh, all right. That's a good point. That's right. Today's the 10th. We got about 9 days distance removed, and no fooling, Acadiana. We've still got your opportunity to go check out the Angola Prison Rodeo on our dime. Seriously, it's coming up soon. It's one of the best sporting events in this state. I've been as a child and as a grown child, or adult, as I think I should be referred to now. 103.7 The Game is giving you a chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the wildest show in the South. And it's easy to enter. Just text the word Angola, A-N-G-O-L-A, Angola, to 68683 for your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the Angola Prison Rodeo. Final break of the hour, then we're right back in. Got to talk a little Pels, let you hear what Alvin Gentry had to say about Anthony Davis. And then we go to Augusta National. Spreadheads with Cousin Dino at 5:05. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back in on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
I love it. I love it when you make horrible picks.
I think he's a very good kid. I think he's a solid guy. I stand idiot. I don't care. I think he got some bad advice. If you want, me to just be to tell the truth, I'll leave it at that.
So much to really sink my teeth into there. Maybe you as well. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, alongside a guy who's just trying to get fired today. He's trying real hard. He's already turned my mic off once during the show.
Yeah.
Was that just a random Cousin Dino telling me that he loves it when I make horrible picks?
Yeah, that was meant to – for whatever reason, like when I drop stuff in before the show, like I usually go through it like by alphabetical order. So it's sort of by alphabetical order. And that was supposed to be – I had Dr. John. I was going to drop that in to start the segment. Apparently, Dean was the thing that dropped in. I was like, what the hell?
Just rationalization. And you've got an hour and 11 minutes to pick it up. Maybe you'll be with the show tomorrow when we go to the tap room.
Well, not with you, but here in the 237 Roof Studios.
Both are questionable at this point. No, he'll be here. He's the man.
Maybe.
And what you did hear from was the head coach, the man, in New Orleans. Yes, they lost last night to the Warriors, but who really cares, right? A step closer to maybe a little bit better pick. But that's Alvin Gentry. When he was asked if Anthony Davis is being mischaracterized, I love that. I love how frank and just fresh he was. I think he got some bad advice. That is the best way to put it. He got some bad advice, whether it started with LeBron, Rich Paul, clutch management as a whole. Who cares where the origin was? Anthony Davis took that bait, and he hasn't been able to let go of it. He's been fed a vision that's almost certainly not going to come to fruition anymore, because you have to imagine to some degree that Magic Johnson was a part of that vision on the left coast, right? Hey, man, come on. Magic is the guy calling the shots here. LeBron's going to be your teammate. He'll get that guy that's the head coach fired, Luke Walton. They'll move on from him, and you'll get somebody that you love in there. Well, some of those dreams are starting to crumble before they ever came to fruition. And so Anthony Davis, who was sold this bill of goods, what is he now, 27 years old probably, AD, something like that, the brow, he would have to be in that range. I know that Alvin Gentry called him a kid there, and I've seen a lot on social media saying, hey, he's a grown-ass man, he's 27 years old, whatever he is, he can make his own decisions. Yes, he can, and he should. But I understand why Alvin Gentry views him as a kid. And he's made some childish decisions, or maybe better put, he's been a little childish after having a decision made for him by other grown men. But I love that from Alvin Gentry. We'll let you hear more from the Saints, listen to me, the Pelicans head coach, as this segment rolls on. Either that or Clint will tell me that I suck with somebody else's soundbite that we don't see coming. He's good like that. Let's get out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. James, you want to go in on AD?
Yeah, real quick, you know, I want to say what I heard on the radio station out in the New Orleans area, and I think it's somewhat true, is that when Anthony Davis saw that the Pels were not trying to keep Boogie, and they didn't really go after Boogie, you know, and Rondo, that kind of left a bad taste in his mouth, you know, that kind of like made him look at the Pels and say, wait a minute, we were so close last year with this nucleus we had, despite the fact Boogie got injured, and we're not even pushing hard for Rondo. We're not pushing hard for Boogie. You know, it made him look at the Pels kind of side-eye.
Well, I think that's probably exactly right, but here would be my counter to that, James. What are the Pelicans supposed to do that's better than 2 years, $40 million? Because that's reportedly what they offered Boogie Cousins, $20 million per is a pretty strong offer. Is that, I don't know if it's Will Wade strong, but it's pretty damn strong, James.
It's a pretty strong offer, but from what I understand, he wanted a long-term contract. And then, you know, he ended up going with a one-year deal, but he wanted a longer-term contract from the Pels, and they weren't offering that. You know, plus you got guys, you got scrubs on NBA teams making $20 million right now.
Boy, I'm not going to sneeze at $20 million offer for Cousins.
No, I'm not going to. I won't sneeze at it either. But you've got guys who are coming off the bench making $20 million.
No, I get it. I get that part. I guess here's what I would say: they offered Cousins a deal that would have been for the life of Anthony Davis's deal in New Orleans. Why AD would look at that cockeyed? I don't know. I understand what you're saying, right? He saw a nucleus. He saw a team that could have done something, and he feels like they didn't make enough of a push. And maybe over a period of time, Dell Demps did not. We can agree on that. But as far as doing better than 2 years, $40 million, I don't know. That's where I get a little slanted.
And then also you let Rondo go. You know, Rondo is the heart and soul of the team. You know, right. To be totally honest, he's the coach on the court. You know, Gentry could just sit back and relax when Rondo's on the basketball court, in all honesty.
I got a few other things I'll add to this, but this is a good conversation. James, thanks for starting it. And look, here's my follow-up on that. We got time for more. 706-0111. Are the Pels supposed to give longer-term deals than they normally would to guys that won't be able to help their team in 3, 4, or 5 years to maybe keep Anthony Davis around? I don't know if that's a good business decision. You might say that they should do whatever it takes to keep the brow at all cost. I don't know that I feel that way, because we had a caller earlier suggest that he's a generational talent. Yeah, he might be that in terms of size and skill set, but he doesn't have a generational killer instinct. For that matter, there are a number of players in the league right now that I think might fit that bill just a little bit. I used to feel that way about Kevin Durant. Still sort of do. I think a guy like Russell Westbrook has more of that in his DNA than Durant, for example. But I don't think AD is an alpha dog. So generational talent, yeah, okay, that's fine. I'll go along with that. But a generational level winner? A la... go ahead and name your guy. Bill Russell? Michael Jordan? Just almost a sociopath about winning? Hell no, that's not Anthony Davis. Not even close. Not even sort of close. So did he get offended? Did he start looking cockeyed, as James suggested, when they didn't retain Cousins and Rondo? Yeah, maybe he did. I don't doubt that one bit. But I'm also not sure if I'm the brass for the Pels, and I know that Dell Demps was leading that charge for the better part of a decade. That didn't help. But I'm not sure that I'm giving a 4 or 5 year deal to Boogie Cousins. I don't know that I'm overpaying Rajon Rondo. How many Kentucky Wildcats does it take for you to stay in New Orleans, dude? And do I have to overpay them? Do I have to give them 5 years when probably the rest of the market's willing to give them 2 or 3? Who else was lining up to give Boogie Cousins a 4 year, $80 million deal, just for example? Nobody. 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 That's why he's doing 1 year. $5 million for the Golden State Warriors, ring chasing. So I don't know. Even if that's what really was the final straw for Anthony Davis, that wouldn't have moved my needle if I were in the front office of the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm sorry. I'm not overpaying and hemorrhaging money for the wrong guys just to keep you around. Maybe, by the way. Let's not forget that maybe word. So what happens if they do keep Boogie Cousins? Retears the Achilles. Rajon Rondo literally starts having teeth falling out and has taken Geritol in 2 or 3 years. Then what happens? Anthony Davis might have been gone anyway. Well, glad you had those investments. That's a tough sell for me. So this thing mercifully has come to an end with Anthony Davis and the Pelicans after the way this year has gone. I just like the way Gentry has treated it, and I think that the right way to treat Gentry is to give him an opportunity, no matter who the next GM is, to keep his job. Not saying he should definitely keep it. It's got to be a stylistic fit, right? GM and head coach. But I think he at least, in my opinion, deserves an interview. All right, we're just about halfway home with the show today. Let's wind down. Hour number one with one final word.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Streak. I mentioned earlier, the Astros currently on a 5-game winning streak. The record up to 7-5. I would love to see them keep it going tonight. It's Colin McHugh versus James Paxton from the Juice Box. If they can make it 6 in a row, if they can continue to bury the Yankees very, very early on, albeit in the process, boy, I think that would be music to just about everybody's ears. The only other thing they need to turn around right now, well, they need the next bit of discovery on Alex Bregman's hamstring to be positive news. It's been said he's going to miss tonight's game, and hopefully that's it. We'll knock on wood and echo that sentiment. But right now, Astros in good form. After a 2-5 start, They're starting to roll. They're on a winning streak. That's the final word of this hour. It's brought to you by the Village Station, your final stop to fill up the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. They've got your non-ethanol gas and plenty of goodies tonight. No need to cook. Just stop by the Village Station on Maurice Avenue. We're coming back and then going to Augusta National. Cousin Dino at 5:05. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. Ben Love, joined by the famous Clint D. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Another hour to go from inside the 237 Roof Studios. Important reminder, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Getting ready for his star turn in Augusta is Cousin Dino. We'll have him aboard in a minute, maybe two. And don't forget, after our show today at 6 o'clock, it's an Express Lane edition of Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. Don Allen and Company bring you from 6 until 6:30. Astro launch at 6:40 p.m. We'll join it in progress, getting you ready for the Yanks at the Astros, Part 3. Stros looking to make it 6 in a row overall, 3 in a row over the Yankees. But yet, your biggest news of the day is something we'll get back to later in this hour. Magic Johnson out in Los Angeles. LeBron James left in lurch. Anthony Davis, who didn't play last night in New Orleans, I'm not sure if he's making it to play for the Lakers next season. After that, perhaps so. But boy, it's going to be an interesting rebuild in L.A. It might just be a quicker rebuild, as I'm suggesting to you, all show today in New Orleans. And finally, on the LSU football recruiting front, Ed Orgeron and the Tigers landed a commitment from one of the top nickel safeties in the country this morning. 2020 Texas defensive back Lorando Johnson. And this is a big score for Bill Bush, second-year safeties coach for LSU football. Suddenly, the Tigers cooking in Cali, in Texas, making some hay outside of the boot. We'll talk about all that and more, plus a Q&A replay at 5:45 with Billy Embody. Speaking of LSU football recruiting, you'll get your fix with a guy who knows his stuff as we exit stage left at 5:45. But against my best judgment, we're going to Augusta National. No. I don't have any problem with going there to the home of pimento cheese. But against my best judgment, we're going to bring this guy on to talk about it.
What in the hell is Spreadheads? Oh, a segment for degenerate gamblers. All right, well then it is time for Spreadheads with Cousin Dino.
It's the moment many of you have been waiting for. Let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. And I cannot believe I'm saying this, but live from Augusta National, it's our good friend, Cousin Dino, a rare edition of Spreadheads. Hello, friend.
How you doing, brother? It's been too long. Good to hear your voice. And a beautiful day here in Augusta. A little bit of rain on Tuesday. Going to make some interesting conditions. Of course, it's going to play a little bit different, but par three is going on, and it's time to go.
Well, look, before we get into everything you've been doing this week, because I know that you have been a busy man, I know that you're also tickled by the fact that Sandy Lyle has had a heck of a run today at the par three. So a guy that just doesn't age, and you're enjoying that.
I am. Sandy Lyle is a fan favorite here in Augusta, and the man sits at top of the leaderboard. The man likes to shake hands, and he's just a true gentleman and just really a scholar of the game.
All right, we'll get back to some other fan favorites, but I do have to ask. I know that you were at the Final Four in Minneapolis. What was your experience like there? And which was the rowdiest fan base of the four present?
Yeah, I'll give a shout-out to Minneapolis. Minneapolis is actually a very nice city. People are extremely nice. I had never been there, and I would recommend it. You know, I'm not saying go there for your honeymoon, but it's a good spot. a lot of good basketball. I would say the rowdiest fan base by far was the boys from Lubbock, Texas. Those Red Raider fans, they traveled, and they like to get after it. I got a couple of stories that I probably have to share off air, but, yeah, I would say Texas Tech Nation definitely caught my eye this weekend.
All right, so you don't go there for your honeymoon. Do you go there for your bachelor party, though?
It'd be questionable, but, you know, it wouldn't be off the – yeah, if you caught a Vikings game, U.S. Bank Stadium is super nice, Target Field. So, yeah, I can see that.
All right, just checking. Cousin Dino with us. It's an April edition of Spreadheads, and you know that means we're getting ready for the Masters. It begins tomorrow. Dino in Augusta right now. All right, we mentioned fan favorites. Who are some of the others? As I know you've been to practice rounds before, I think you've been to some of the Thursday action as well. Who are some of the typical fan favorites and people that all the golf fans, not just from the state of Georgia, but everybody that descends worldwide on that golf course, who do they really come to see and love interacting with?
Yeah, I mean, number one, honestly, for me, would be Freddie Couples. He's getting a little bit older, but they just seem to love him. I mean, all you hear is the Freddie chant throughout, even during a practice round. He interacts with the crowd. He seems to really embrace it. So he would definitely be top of my list there. Another one, well, I already mentioned him. I mean, Mr. Sandy Lyle, I'll be 100% honest. I saw him last year, and he just has a good time. He's out there just having fun. He's got the little Scottish vibe going. So it's interesting to see the way different people interact. I mean, there's certain guys that don't do so well. I mean, honestly, I picked this guy last year, not to pat myself on the back, but Patrick Reed, he is not exactly loved in Augusta, even though he's the defending champ. So there's quite a diversity on different players and how the patrons, they're not fans, they're patrons, Ben, how the patrons view these guys.
As much money as they spend, yes, they are patrons. And I'm surprised that you didn't mention Bubba Buttonup, right? I mean, this is his home course. The dude went to UGA.
No.
Come on now.
No, I was actually going to try to keep him out of it. But no, if anything, I would say he's actually viewed a little bit. I mean, it's a love-hate relationship with Bubba. I mean, you've heard his reputation around the PGA Tour. He's just the salty guy. So he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, and especially in a buttoned-up course like Augusta National, it doesn't go over well a lot of times.
I'll hit you with some knowledge you probably didn't have. His caddy, Ted Scott, hails from right here in the Acadiana area. So congrats. You not only offended everybody in your home state of Georgia, but also here in Acadiana. And that's just something Cousin Dino does. Now let's talk some shop. For the love of all that is holy, give me your pick to win. And I would like you, if you could, Dino, to narrow in on a guy who is in the top 10 most likely to win by the odds maker. So I guess you could say, of the presumptive favorites, who do you like this year?
Yeah, this guy's sitting right at deep top 10, right around number 10. I like Brooks Koepka. You're getting 25-1 odds with this guy. He missed the Masters last year for injury, but the last six times he's actually started and completed a major, he's won three of those. He's got the game. As I said earlier, it rained hard on Tuesday, and that softened up the course. That's going to make this course play a lot more in favor for long ball hitters like Brooks Koepka. So I like Brooks Koepka a lot at 25-1.
All right, let's keep it going. And this is for our true degenerates. In fact, it was this segment a year ago that you gave us Patrick Reed. Now it's time for you to give your 2019 favorite dark horse.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the professor, Mr. Bryson DeChambeau. I think you can get him about 50-1. He's a young guy. The Masters seems to cater to first-time winners. I think it's been something like 10 out of the last 11 Master winners have been first-time major winners. The guy is hitting his stride. He's from down there in your area. I think he went to SMU. He just takes a new approach to the game. I think he's focused. I think at 50-1, you got to take Bryson DeChambeau.
I like it. We're finishing up now with Cousin Dino. Any other betting lines that are related to this year's tournament that you like? And I'm not as familiar with some of these, right? I don't mind throwing shekels on how long the national anthem is for the Super Bowl, but that type of side action, anything else you like for this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go, this is, you're going to make fun of me for it, but Matt Kuchar, he is going to finish in the top 10. That's what Matt Kuchar does. If you want a winner, he's not going to get you a winner, but if you want a top 10, that's what he does. You can get about plus 350 on him to finish in the top 10. He's going to be there. And actually, he's another fan favorite, Georgia Tech kid. So I like that bet a lot. Kuchar is always going to be around. So take another Augusta fan favorite to finish in the top 10 this week.
That's the old Chris Bermanism, right, that we love so much. And I think he always said it about Jerome Bettis. Coach, you need 3 yards, I'll get you three. Coach, you need 5 yards, I'll get you three. Matt Kuchar will not win, but he will finish in the top 10. I like that.
That's exactly right, sir. That's how he does it. Hey, I forgot. I got one more prop bet for your listeners out there. Mr. Freddie Couples, you can get a very nice side bet of him leading at some point after 9 holes during this Masters. The key here being he goes off at 9:25 Thursday. There's only 5 groups ahead of him. He's known to get off the quick starts. He takes that back 9 on the lead. You got yourself a nice paycheck.
He's Cousin Dino, and he is our favorite patron this week because he's also probably paying top dollar. I cover sports for a living, and yet you're the one who has been at the Final Four and now Augusta National. I don't know how you're doing it, but I wouldn't change a thing if I were you.
No, I wouldn't. I've got friends in high places. It's good to know important people.
And you know us as well, so that's got to mean something. Dino, as always, thanks. We'll hang our hat on Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, and maybe a little bit of a flyer to keep your boy, Matt Kuchar, in the top 10. Thanks for the refresher.
All right, I appreciate it, Ben. Good catching up.
The guy bagged a little bit on a Georgia Bulldog. He could do that because he is also a Georgia Bulldog, but he's not wrong. I've heard some of the same things about Bubba Watson. And so, paging Ted Scott, I know you're busy this week, but when you get back, maybe Monday, holler at your boy. Come down from Opelousas. We'll do another live set together on the program. When we return, your chance to respond to everything you just heard, maybe your favorite pick for this 2019 Masters. And don't forget, you've got less than a day left. You got less than like 14 hours left. You can still sign up to win the 2019 Masters Challenge. It's easy and free. Just go to 1037thegame.com like Dino just did. There's no odds. Just pick the guy you think is going to win. If you're right, you're going to win a $100 gift card to golfballs.com. If more than one of you pick the same winner, we'll put you into a raffle. And like the Highlander, there can only be one. It's the 2019 Masters Challenge, and it's free to enter. It's easy, too, at 1037thegame.com. We're coming right back in. You're dialed into B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game. Live online at 1037thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 1037 The Game.
Time will tell. Heck, within the next 100 hours, we'll know if Cousin Dino hits the money on the head for the second straight year. But a couple of picks there. Let's see if you like them. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back with you. Bringing you home on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open for at least the next, let's say, 30 minutes. We will end the show today, Q&A replay style, Billy Embody. Go247.com, going all in on LSU spring football. Couple of players, he gave three actually. We spoke to him Monday. Three guys who made a jump forward this spring for the Tigers, and then a little football recruiting as well. But between now and then, feel free to weigh in. Not only on the Masters, I know today the Par 3 Challenge, tomorrow you get the real thing. You can also give us your takes on Anthony Davis and the state of Pelicans basketball, because I want to go back there a little this segment as well. The number to play, 706-0111. I don't know that this was ever going to end in a good place for either AD or the Lakers once everything played out publicly with that whole melodrama, right? From the moment that the Pelicans could kind of sense that there was blood in the water and that the Lakers thought it was their birthright to get AD, and I mean like right freaking now in the middle of the season, they played the Lakers, as they should. That's the game, son. And they played it perfectly. And then Magic Johnson in the aftermath left to say they didn't deal in good faith. From that moment forward, I never thought that this thing was going to have a pretty ending in the short term for either Magic or Anthony Davis. And sure enough, the Magic Man is now out with the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm going to save some of my real thoughts on that situation for our next segment. You could probably guess how it'll fit in. But as far as Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, the guy had everything coming to him toward the end that did. And he's lost, I think, a lot of the luster. Not in terms of his skill set, not in terms of what he can accomplish as a player. But I think that there are people around the league that are going to take notice of this guy as a potential malcontent. Not an out-and-out malcontent, not somebody who starts that way. But if you don't please him as a front office, if you don't please him as a head coach, your time with the organization may be short, or his may, and neither's good for somebody that you're probably going to have to invest some $30 million a year in. I just don't think the prospects of winning a championship with him as your best player are great. I feel like the time in New Orleans proved that, but I also realize that's not completely fair. Because even as the best player, you have to have some legitimate complementary pieces. And we had a really good call at the end of hour number one from James. And James suggested, as he heard on NOLA Base Radio, that from the moment Boogie Cousins, Rajon Rondo, walked out that door, Davis was never sold on the future of the franchise. Look, I get it from AD's side to an extent. But overpaying and overextending Cousins and Rondo to keep AD happy, and maybe he stays or maybe he doesn't, and you're left with their crappy contracts for aging players. Don't know that that ever made a lot of sense either. But a lot of things Alvin Gentry had to say last night did resonate with me. So already we let you hear. Gentry says he thinks that AD's a good kid, but he got some bad advice. How about some more from the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans? Let's start with his message to the team.
I told him right afterwards, we're going to be good next year and we're going to make the damn playoffs. I said that and I mean that. I believe that.
I don't think it's as far-fetched as some of you probably do. And that was our sink or swim question of the day, just about an hour ago. Which event is more likely to happen next season in New Orleans? The Saints winning the Super Bowl or the Pels making the playoffs? Everybody so far saying the Saints winning the Lombardi Trophy. And that's the safer answer, no doubt about it. But I don't think it's that far-fetched. If the Pels fetch in fair value what they likely can get out of Anthony Davis. Again, I'll remind you, if it's some semblance of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, and you got a top 10 pick, hey, roll the dice, take a chance. That's a team that'll do better than this year's Pelicans team for sure. Will they be 10 to 15 games above 500? Likely what it'll take to fetch the eighth spot in the Western Conference playoffs? I don't think that's guaranteed. Nobody will tell you that it is. But I do think they'll be better next year. Let's get some more from Alvin Gentry. He thinks the team will make the damn playoffs next year. That's what he just told you. Here, he opines on his future.
Don't care. I'll think that when they tell me it is. You know, I don't worry about things that I can't control. I told you guys that. I'm gonna do everything I possibly can and work as hard as I possibly can until they tell me I'm not the coach anymore.
Love the attitude. Let's get one more from Alvin Gentry, and then we're gonna let you hear from a former Raging Cajun plan for the franchise. Gentry says, I don't care about my future. I just know that we want to turn the page overall.
We're going to move on regardless of what. You know, we got great ownership. We're going to have great leadership. We got a bunch of guys in there that believe in each other. So it doesn't matter what. We're going to be good next year. We're going to move forward and we're going to have a good basketball team.
Cornerstone of this franchise moving forward, in terms of guys that are currently on the roster, I think everybody knows, is Drew Holiday. But after that, who else do you want to keep in this team's nucleus? I think a lot of people feel that Elfrid Payton would look very good in a Pels uniform moving forward. After last night's game, Pels lose to the Warriors, game 82, finito for the regular season. But afterward, Payton said that more than anything else, he's just hoping for some direction in the Big Easy.
Some of these questions answered?
I mean, obviously, there's a little curiosity to see some kind of direction. But, I mean, I can't let myself worry about that. I can't do anything to change any of that. So, be wasting my time.
Don't waste Elfrid's time. I'd like to see him back. And I think this next guy would fit pretty well, too. In particular, if they get a veteran big. I've been mentioning Al Horford because of the connection that we've heard for some time that Danny Ainge and the Celtics may have with their fondness over AD. But Jahlil Okafor, even if Horford comes in, Okafor would pair great with him. And I continue to think of Horford maybe filling a role that for a lot of years the big cat, Jamal McGlure, did in New Orleans. I think that while Horford may fill that role, Okafor is the young gun that might have an unexpected future, at least after the way the former Dukie's career started in Philly. Here, Okafor gives you a little bit of insight into what his first season in the Crescent City was like.
Overall, it was a very enjoyable experience. From the organization, the front office, to the coaches, to the fans. It was really refreshing for me just to be here and have this a positive year in the NBA. So extremely grateful for the opportunity and excited for next season.
One more from Okafor, and he kind of hinted at it right there, right? Next season, he's looking forward. So what everybody's doing at this time of year when you don't make the playoffs. But Okafor, he's got some legitimate excitement about remaining in New Orleans, if indeed that's the case.
I think we just proved that we can compete with anybody in the league. We've beaten some of the best teams without some key guys. And, if everybody can be healthy, I'm confident that we can do that. And that's our goal heading into next season. So I'm excited.
Almost 90 minutes into today's show, and really, nary a mention of the Cajuns getting smashed at home last night by Louisiana Tech. LSU getting smashed at home last night by Southern. Clint and I are good like that. We've switched the focus to things that you probably care a little more about than midweek college baseball games. And on the other side of this break, we're going to take it to your biggest national storyline. I'll go in on Magic Johnson. We'll take some of your calls as well. And then revisit an interview with Billy Embody at 5:45. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back in quick, fast, and in a hurry on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
I had more fun on the other side than on this side, because now tomorrow I would have to affect somebody's livelihood and their life. And I thought about that. I said, that's not fun for me. That's not who I am. And then I don't want to put her in the middle of us. You know, even though she said, hey, you do what you want to do. I want to go back being who I was before taking on this job.
Magic Johnson out in Los Angeles, and I'm not sure I am buying that. And even if I am, boy, that doesn't speak well of somebody in a leadership position, does it? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game, and no need to waste any time. Let's issue your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you could trust in their management top-down, starting with Mark, to help you create a vision and then fulfill it. You can also trust their professional installers inside your home, and how refreshing that is in 2019. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game before this coming football season. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Irvin Magic Johnson has stepped down as the Lakers' president of basketball operations. Here's really the only reason why. At least that he has listed. From his point of view, he wants to be able to congratulate other players around the NBA. He wants to serve as kind of an ambassador to players in the game. And he can't do that. He can't tweet at Russell Westbrook. He can't do the things that he wants to do as a player emeritus in the association because it would violate anti-tampering rules. And I call BS on that. The real reason, and I do think he alluded to some of it right there, the real reason is that the axe was going to have to fall on head coach Luke Walton and quite possibly fellow running mate in the front office, Rob Pelinka. And Magic reportedly wanted to fire Rob Pelinka but couldn't, maybe because Jeannie Buss didn't want that. Magic also reportedly didn't have the stones to fire Luke Walton. As you heard in that soundbite, he didn't want to affect another man's livelihood. Nobody likes firing anybody. I've had to do it before. It sucks. And I've been on the getting fired end of it before. Hey, that sucks even more. But isn't that part of the job that he took on? And for all the success that this man has had in his life, and he's been an incredible athlete, entrepreneur, spokesperson. Wow. In this role and in his role as a head coach, he has been a flame-out disaster. And if you don't have the stones to make a move as the president of basketball operations, as simple potentially as firing your head coach, how was that ever a role that you should have had in the first place? And so sometimes you can't get mad at somebody when they can't execute a job. You got to get mad at the person that was foolish enough or dumb enough to hire him in the first place. So maybe this goes back up to Jeannie Buss, but in general, I'm throwing shade at the Lakers. They are a dumpster fire today, and I think the city of New Orleans has their biggest sporting win of the 2019 year. Sure as hell didn't happen in the NFC title game. We know it didn't happen with the way the AD thing went down at first, after the Woj bomb. But after the way that the Pels played Magic Johnson and company, now they're the ones that are spiraling out of control. Magic, I don't buy your reasons that you're giving publicly. And Los Angeles, good luck with your rebuilding process. It's going to be a minute.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
On the plus side, Irvin can tweet freely now. I guess that's liberating. I guess that makes him feel good. But he is honest in one thing he had to say there. I had more fun on the other side of it. I'm not going to ever knock a man, or a woman for that matter, for that level of honesty. But the fact that he was in that position in the first place feels more than just a little bit troubling. And for all the retreads out there and the people hired as color analysts and GMs and front office gurus when they have no earthly business being there, let's wake up a little bit. Can't hard work and talent win out just occasionally? Maybe that'd be okay for everybody. It would be for me. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're about to come right back in. LSU spring football wrap-up, plus a little recruiting intel as well when Billy and Buddy joins the program. It's B2BS, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
We ain't dead yet. In fact, we got one more go in the show today. Welcome back into Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. On the other side of us, it'll be Five Guys Stories and Lies, Don Allen and company. But right now, I want to get back to LSU spring football. Okay, that is dead. But the postmortem, it's pretty important. It's really the last bit of LSU football that you'll get that means anything, if it really means all that much, until August, until everybody reports. From here until now, Moffitt's got him. And then you see just how much he does from a strength and conditioning standpoint. But leaving the spring, who was shining? Who was stepping up? And just how does the offense look now with Joe Brady joining Steve Ensminger compared to how it used to look? That, plus a little bit of a look at recruiting We had Billy Embody aboard. Go247.com. Earlier in the week, the 4 o'clock crowd enjoyed that. Today, we'll get it for the 5 o'clock crowd as we shuffle towards 6 o'clock. So it's LSU football on the team side and on the recruiting side. And oh, by the way, this just augments the news of the day when it comes to LSU recruiting. That top 150 defensive back, Lorando Johnson from the state of Texas, has pledged to Ed Orgeron and company. Enough of that. Let's get to Billy Embody right now. Everybody will want to know about Joe Brady. How much of his offense did we see? Was there anything that surprised you? I'll let you answer some of those questions. So as far as the offensive direction and what was on display Saturday, how would you respond?
They kept things pretty under wraps, which isn't really surprising. Getting to stop by the coaches' clinic late last month ahead of the spring game, talking with some of the offensive coaches, they said don't even expect too many fireworks to go off in the spring game from this offense. And that's exactly what they showed. But what they showed was a quicker passing game, a lot of slants, a lot of underneath routes. We saw some dump-offs to the running backs, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly. Joe Burrow and Miles Brennan both looked fairly sharp, I would say, especially Brennan completing 11 of 14 passes. And then from there, really, you had the surprise, I think, of Chris Curry. He ran physically well and made some guys miss and made some plays. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked good as well. And the whole offense, just the way they're able to create matchups. And I think that's the biggest thing that we're going to see with Joe Brady involved with the offense, and something the Saints do so well with Drew Brees, and something that they're trying to bring to Baton Rouge and LSU. And while we didn't get to see a ton from the spring game, we did get to see some of the flashes, I think, of what's to come.
I'm glad you mentioned Curry, and he's a kid who came in with a lot of hype. I mean, the nickname Baby Beast Mode, right? And I could see where they want to make him the Mark Ingram equivalent of this LSU offense. What do you think it was that was difficult for him in his freshman season? I know he ended up taking a red shirt, but during his game action, he went backwards more than he went forward. So what do you think was difficult about that endeavor, and maybe what's different now?
That's something we talked with some of the offensive linemen during the season about. It seemed like every play Chris Curry got in there, he'd break one off, and it would be a holding penalty, or the play would get blown up. And so I think a lot of his adjustment to the college game was more the pass protections and trying to be consistent. And Nick Brossette played really well last year, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a really solid number two guy for them. And so I think they were okay with letting Chris Curry redshirt. And now we saw, again, a lot of what you saw on his high school tape, and he just looked like he was playing with a lot of confidence in the spring game.
Talking LSU spring football with Billy Embody. Go247.com on 103.7 The Game. All right, you addressed the quarterbacks already. Anything in particular with Burrow that looked different from last year? I mean, does he look healthier to you? I know we didn't see a ton of the run game, but your thoughts on Burrow and his performance?
Yeah, I think that's one thing. You mentioned the run game, and that was a non-factor for this offense in the spring game, which isn't really surprising considering he was, you know, he had that procedure done on his shoulder, and Ed Orgeron has kind of said that, look, it's still a little sore. We're trying to be careful with it. He tested Derek Stingley on that left side of that interception. And so, I mean, that's something that I think Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady will kind of have a conversation about. And he admitted it after the game. He said that's not a throw that I'm going to be trying to make too often in game situations. But in the spring game, he decided to. But just that overall quickness of his game, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, and that was a good sign, especially with some of the offensive line protection issues.
Defensively, I was impressed with Andre Anthony, and I was told from the moment he got on campus, this is a guy who's really got a chance. I guess your thoughts on where he might fit into the rotation, and if this, for any reason, in the spring game has been a mirage.
It's going to be interesting because Caleb-on Chasson is going to be back next year, and he's, if healthy, got All-American type talent, former five-star prospect. And then you've got guys who have showed well there as well, like Jarrell Cherry. So that whole kind of logjam at that rush end position that they bring off the edge is going to be interesting to see how it works out. Health has obviously been something that's been an issue for Anthony at times. So as long as he's healthy, he's going to figure in there. And he's a veteran guy. And Ed Orgeron and the staff have been, I think, especially defensively,
more likely to lean on those veterans outside of what Derek Stingley is going to be doing this year. But for the most part, they've leaned on those veterans to step up and make big plays. And they're going to need that from Anthony, especially when Kalon Chasson comes out of the game.
All right, give us a glimpse, Billy, into how you think Corey Raymond, Bill Bush, Dave Aranda use their cornerbacks. We got to see, obviously, what Derek Stingley Jr. is about. I think that Kelvin Joseph surprised a lot of people as a freshman. Christian Fulton returns. Are they going to leave some of those guys on an island? Is there going to be some travel maybe involved on the best receiver for somebody like Stingley? And then with the nickelback spot, give us an idea of how you think the corners work this year.
I think with Fulton and Stingley, they can leave those guys out on an island and just be fine, and that'll allow them to do some different things with disguising coverages. And you mentioned the cornerbacks, but playing off of that, the safeties, guys like Jacoby Stevens, who's kind of playing this that quarter safety in the box type position that Grant Delpit did at the beginning of the year. And then you have Delpit, of course, and Todd Harris, who's kind of the more traditional free safety right now, it looks like. And because of all that, how do they use a nickel? How do they actually work in guys like Kerry Vincent and Kelvin Joseph? Because I think Kelvin Joseph has earned the right to see snaps. And so they're not just going to let him sit on the sidelines. He's going to have to play. So that's something that I think is yet to be determined for sure, especially with Christian sitting out the spring. But he'll be ready to go by fall camp, and they'll get a better handle on kind of how all that works out, especially that nickelback spot.
Billy, give me a player or two who you think made the most progress this spring, and whether they were a starter, whether they're trying to come from being a platoon guy, who took the most positive steps forward for this LSU football team?
I think two. I think Jamar Chase, there's a lot of praise sung for him. They're expecting him to be a true number one wide receiver. And so all the reviews out of all the scrimmages leading up to the spring game were that Chase was going to be really impressive. And then I'll kind of do a pair for the second one, which will be Papu Aika and Tyler Shelvin. Both of those guys have to be ready to play. They have to contribute at a high level, and both impressed, and both have been working hard and losing weight and doing all that. If they can get those two guys rotating in there at the nose tackle position and really impressing, then that's a game changer for this defense.
I want to piggyback off that for a second. We got another moment or two with Billy Embody. Go247.com. If Chase takes a step forward, and everybody assumes that he will, what might that mean for Justin Jefferson? Because he was everything to this receiving core last year. What do you make out of his role in 2019?
I think you're still going to see a lot of them. They're going to be in three, four wide receiver sets, supposedly. we've heard that a lot for a long time around LSU's offense about opening things up, but this does seem different. This does seem like they're going to go 3-4 wide receivers more often than not, and Jefferson's been a guy that's been impressing a lot in the slot, during spring ball, and they're still very high on him and what he can do.
All right, before we let you go, special teams weren't exactly special on Saturday. I'm not sure how much stock to put into that, but kickoffs that don't always make it to the end zone, right before the half, a missed field goal. How will they look this year compared to last year, at least with the guys using their feet?
Yeah, that one's weird. The spring game setups sometimes for special teams can take these guys out of their rhythm and their flow and all that. I don't necessarily think Avery Atkins is the answer at kicker, but he's going to be the kickoff guy. He's somebody that did a phenomenal job of that last year, so I don't think that's going to change. And they'll let these guys battle it out at kicker and see who comes away with the job. Freshman Cade York is obviously one of the best kickers in the country and has plenty of leg. He made a 65-yard field goal, I believe, in the Under Armour All-American game. And so he's got the leg to do it, and if he can kind of manage the emotions of it as a freshman, he's got a chance to be the field goal guy.
We'll get you out of here with this. Just an overall big-picture answer. How do you grade out the way this weekend went from a recruiting standpoint?
I would say A-. And here's why. I know they only got Jaden Navarrete out of California, but there is a ton of momentum that I think we will see come to fruition in the coming weeks with some of these guys they had on campus. The buzz around the job that they did with guys like Jermaine Burton, guys like Xavier Alford, are two of the top skill guys in the country. One's a wide receiver and the other one's a corner or safety out of Texas. And both of those guys are really high on LSU, and then a lot of the in-state guys that I got a chance to watch the spring game were impressed as well.
You know, we appreciate the time, Billy. We've been talking basketball, baseball so far. The people want their football. Thanks for giving it to them.
Anytime, brother. Thanks for having me.
Still good as new. Still great perspective. Glad we ran it back for you today on a hump day. Big time program. I know, only the 2 hours, but we had some fun. You might have even learned something. But with this guest list, not so sure about the latter. I know about the former. Our thanks to Brian Snow, closing out a tremendous basketball season with him. Wednesdays at 4:30, he's been our guy. Even though we're done with him now, you shouldn't be. You need to follow all the recruiting, especially into next week's signing period. Make sure you're following Brian at bsnow247 on Twitter and then 247 Sports. Our thanks again to Brian Snow. At the top of this hour, this sandbagging dude right here, Cousin Dino, just Learjet kinging it. Seriously, from Mini at the Final Four to Augusta, home of the Masters. Glad we got his picks to click. And you just heard a Q&A replay from Billy Embody. We're all out of time. But the good news is you're in capable hands. It is time for Five Guys Stories and Lies next. We want to thank all of you who called, who listened, who interacted on social media. Don't forget, we'll be out at the Tap Room River Ranch tomorrow, beginning at 4 o'clock. Hunt Palmer, Jeff Horchek, and you as we get ready for Week 3 of Rhythms on the River. Clint, as always, hermano, thanks for putting in the work. My name is Ben Love, and you've been listening to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is KLW.